Henry Mancini is probably the most famous musician to come out of Pittsburgh. He went to Aliquippa High School, and he achieved fame with his soundtracks. This past week, on April 16th, Henry would have been 100 years old. He died 30 years ago, but his music is immortal. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle. This week is Henry Mancini's 100th birthday, and what better way to pay tribute than another milestone, Accelerando's 100th episode. A lot of people don't know that Henry's first instrument was the piccolo. He was 8 years old, and he decided he wanted to be a film composer. His dad had other ideas, but the young Enrico, as he was named, he was destined, even in his youth, to become an arranger and a composer. When he was 12, he began studying piano and orchestral arranging with the Stanley Theater's Max Adkins. Max was the conductor and pianist at the music hall. Mancini would produce arrangements for the bands that played at the Stanley. He also wrote one for Benny Goodman when the two met at the Stanley. After graduating from Aliquippa High School, Henry went to Carnegie Tech. But before the year was out, he auditioned for Juilliard. At his audition, he played a Beethoven piano sonata and an improvisation on Night and Day by Cole Porter. But Henry wasn't very happy at Juilliard. He was forced to study piano for his first year, and he felt oppressed. He patiently waited to study composition and arranging, which he would be allowed in his second year. But Henry didn't stay long at Juilliard because it was 1943, and like the rest of the country, Henry enlisted soon after he turned 18. So he chose the U.S. Army Air Force. And while in basic training in Atlantic City, he met up with musicians in Glenn Miller's band. And Glenn Miller himself recommended Mancini for the 28th Air Force Band. So that was his first assignment. Then he was later assigned to the 1,306th Engineers Brigade in France. In his time in Europe, he helped liberate one of the concentration camps in Austria. So after being discharged, Mancini joined the newly reformed Glenn Miller Orchestra, because as we know, Glenn Miller's plane went down during the war. The orchestra was led by Tex Beneke. Mancini finally began formal composition and arranging studies with Ernst Krenek and Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. Pretty soon he found his way to Hollywood. Both his bandleader, Beneke, and his teacher, Castelnuovo Tedesco, they both worked in film. So it's no surprise, in 1952, Mancini joined Universal Studios Music Department. For the next 6 years, he wrote music for over 100 movies and his first Academy Award nomination for The Glenn Miller Story. He had his first hit single with Guy Lombardo, I Won't Let You Out of My Heart, in 1957. Next, Mancini leaves Universal and he becomes an independent contractor, as we like to say nowadays. He was established enough at this point, he probably didn't need to work the grind anymore. He was in demand. That year, he scored the TV series Peter Gunn. It would be the genesis of a 35-year and 30-film collaboration between Mancini and Blake Edwards. Like George Gershwin, Mancini was sort of a pioneer in his style that included infusing jazz into romantic orchestrations. And of course, one of the most famous Mancini scores in a Blake Edwards film, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Thank you. No one needs to be reminded the title of this one, right? Henry Mancini told Disc magazine in 1962 it took him 30 minutes to write Moon River, and he expects to make $100,000 on it in the next 2 years. Yeah, it took him 30 minutes, but as my husband likes to say, it took his whole life to write it, if you think about it. Mancini also says he wrote it for the character that Audrey Hepburn played, Holly Golightly. And he also took the limitations of the actress's voice into account. He said he started with a basic guitar line, but then we hardly hear the guitar in the final product. Paramount was so concerned about Hepburn that she couldn't pull off the singing performance, they were considering dubbing her vocals. Always a bad idea. Mancini avoided the whole problem when he wrote Moon River. It suited her range. He had a chorus with her. He watched another song she sang in Funny Face, and like any good operatic composer, he tailored the song to fit the diva. And here's a factoid that will chill your heart. The studio almost cut Moon River and the iconic scene where it played. They thought the movie was too long. So yeah, they almost cut the heart out of Breakfast at Tiffany's. When this happened, Audrey Hepburn, quiet little mouse she is usually, she told the producer he would have to do it over her dead body. Well, thank you, Audrey. You gotta love Audrey Hepburn. She even plays cello in one movie. And you know the words are by Johnny Mercer. And legend also states they worked separately on the lyrics and the melody, only coming together while they were rehearsing for another gig at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel Ballroom. Moon River won the Grammy Award for Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Arrangement. The movie itself got an award for Best Performance by an Orchestra for Other Than Dancing, and Best Soundtrack Album for Recording of Score from Motion Picture or Television. But even that clumsily worded award went to Henry Mancini. Mancini got the 1962 Oscar for Best Score, and Moon River took the award for Best Song. Pretty soon, this song comes along. Panther isn't just a movie, it's a bunch of sequels, and ultimately, a cartoon. Such fun. Then there's the safari movie, Hatari, with John Wayne. The baby elephant walk comes from here. Soon, Mancini is everywhere. He did the theme to Newhart and a bunch of TV shows, things you didn't even know he did. He also wrote the music for Dave Letterman, his mail segment.
Anyway, it's time for viewer mail. Friday night, we always answer our voluminous viewer mail that has accumulated over the week. These are actual letters from actual viewers. We've been doing this now for 7 years. And Paul, as I look down here at these cards assembled before me, it occurs to me that this may be the one recurring bit of hilarity on the program that we do that does not have an accompanying introductory theme from you.
Ah.
Am I right about that?
That is up until now, because I have done something very special for this evening. I have taken the liberty of commissioning a special theme for viewer mail by one of the truly great American composers. Please welcome to debut his new theme for viewer mail, all Mr. Right. Henry Mancini, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
This week I got to talk to a friend of mine, George Perilli. I asked George if he ever met the Mancinis, because George, like Henry Mancini, went to Aliquippa High School. And also like Henry, he made his way to Hollywood, Nashville, and wherever the music would take him. He was the drummer for John Tesh, also Donna Summer, and Michael McDonald, and Reba McEntire, and a bunch of other great musicians. Anyway, George and I were doing a fundraiser this weekend, and I had the chance to ask him about Henry Mancini. I'm over at the Northland Library with George Perilli, and he's playing with Kevin Clark, Lily Abreu, and Bob Insko. And we're doing a fundraiser for the library. George, I always meant to ask you if you ever knew the Mancini family, seeing as you went to Henry Mancini's alma mater.
I've never had the pleasure of meeting Henry Mancini. However, I did get to see him play a concert at the Beaver County Community College way back in the mid-70s.
Funny, I thought your paths would have crossed or nearly crossed.
I ended up moving to Los Angeles in 1979 and got to play with a bass player named Jimmy Johnson, who was playing with Henry Mancini when I saw him at the Beaver County Community College concert. Jimmy is now James Taylor's music director and has been for probably 10 years or more.
So Jimmy Johnson, did he have some tales to tell about Henry Mancini?
Henry Mancini's dad, also a musician and conductor, told him after one of his concerts in Los Angeles that Henry still didn't know how to conduct.
Well, that's pretty hilarious considering he conducted a lot, right? Anything else that comes to mind about Henry Mancini?
Not that it matters at all, but I'm pretty sure that Henry Mancini and his family lived in West Aliquippa, which is even more obscure than Aliquippa proper.
Actually, yeah, I read that in an interview. His daughter, Monica, says that he was adamant about saying he was from West Aliquippa, not Aliquippa. So, well, thanks, George. I think it's time for your next set. And have a great night. So George says Mancini's not a conductor, but when you're famous, they'll put up with anything. He actually conducted over 600 symphony performances with leading orchestras around the world. LA Phil, London Symphony, Boston Pops, and he would tour with Andy Williams and Johnny Mathis and conduct the orchestra. Once he was a caller into the radio show on the first season of Frasier. The episode was called Guess Who's Coming to Breakfast? Cute. Then Frasier plays Moon River, more cute.
I hate my voice. I mean, I know no one likes the sound of their own voice, especially when they hear it on tape, because it doesn't sound as good as it does in their own head. But I hate my voice in my head, too. And you can't get away from your own voice either, you know. I've tried not listening to myself.
In this phone call, Henry Mancini is actually imitating a character in a movie. It's pretty funny.
I hate my voice so much.
I'm going to have to put this in the show notes for you to look at. So you can see what Frasier and Roz are doing while he's talking.
It's better than mine. Not that I get a lot of calls. Any advice, Dr.
Oh, yeah, yes, just
Go on with what you're doing, and everything should turn out all right. Thank you for your call.
Another fun little cameo that's worth mentioning. In the Pink Panther cartoon, Plink Plunk Pink, the panther puts together an orchestra, and the panther conducts the theme. It says, "Theme by Henry Mancini" on his score. And then the camera turns around to the audience, or the fourth wall, as they like to say, and Mancini is seen alone in the audience, clapping. You'll have to check out these links in the show notes. There's a sign in front of Mancini that says, "Reserved seating for Henry Mancini," but he's the only one in the audience. In 2004, Moon River was named the fourth most memorable song in Hollywood history by the American Film Institute. I wonder who got 1, 2, and 3. Oh well. Here in Pittsburgh, we like to think it was meant to be a tribute to the Mon River. In 2022, Moon River was deemed culturally and historically and aesthetically significant by the Library of Congress as a work of enduring importance to American culture and worthy of permanent preservation. Henry Mancini had 8 gold albums and he recorded over 90 records. The Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center in Midland hosts the Henry Mancini Arts Academy, and it began in 2005. It's very close to Aliquippa. A project in the form of an album is slated for release this June. It's a compilation intended to commemorate Henry Mancini's life work. It features John Williams, Herbie Hancock, Stevie Wonder, Pat Metheny, and a bunch of other musicians. The Hollywood Bowl is opening its summer season with a Mancini tribute on June 23rd. And PBS will showcase Mancini in its Great Performances series. There are documentaries in the making, and even some graphic novels. Hey, Pink Panther returns. There's a scholarship in his name through ASCAP, but maybe there should be something more. Maybe a river. We could change its name. Just a few letters. Okay, maybe not. But here's one. In 2004, he got a stamp. The U.S. Postal Service had a 37-cent stamp with him on it. That's not bad. And when they start putting musicians on money, my vote goes to Henry. The Benenum Center, which is the renovated Stanley Theater, is where I work with the opera and ballet, the PBS My Music, and the PNC Broadway. I like to think it will someday, maybe sooner than we know, recognize its impact on Henry's life, the music he wrote, and the legacy it holds. The Stanley was the incubator, the safe space where he learned his trade. Juilliard turned out to be a big disappointment to the young Mancini. But don't you bet they'll take some claim for his schooling. Carnegie Tech, now Carnegie Mellon, should add Mancini to the list of students that attended the School of Design, which is now called the School of Fine Arts. Aliquippa has long remembered their alum. We at the Pittsburgh Musicians Union do remember him, maybe not officially. But about 20 years ago, I asked our president, George Kluwer, this question. Who's the most famous member ever to be in the Pittsburgh Musicians Union? And without dropping a beat, we both said Henry Mancini. His music is always fresh or relevant. It doesn't have the 60s and 70s vibes kind of holding it down. To quote his daughter Monica, it never went stale. It stays alive with each generation. Like any great songwriter, his music is timeless. So that's it for this week. And please share this episode. If you do share, you know you're giving a gift that doesn't take anything away from you. So share with anyone you think will like it. And maybe subscribe. Please go hear some live music and support the people who make it their livelihood. Have a great week, and we'll see you for the next 100. Bye now.